Everyone's eyes turned to Shirley's ankle, and one eye looked back at them. It resembled the eye-shaped building of Dr. Orwell, which the Baudelaire orphans felt had been watching them since they arrived in Paltryville. It resembled the eye on the cover of Dr. Orwell's book, which the Baudelaire orphans felt had been staring at them since they began working at the Lucky Smells lumber mill. And, of course, it looked exactly like Count Olaf's tattoo, which is what it was, and which the Baudelaire orphans felt had been gazing at them since their parents had died.
"In that case," Mr. Poe said after a pause, "you are not Shirley. You are Count Olaf, and you are under arrest. I order you to take off that ridiculous disguise." "Should I take off my ridiculous disguise as well?" Foreman Flacutono asked, and tore his white wig off with one smooth motion.
It did not surprise the children that he was bald. They had known his absurd hair was a wig from the moment they laid eyes on him. But there was something about the shape of his bald head that suddenly seemed familiar. Glaring at the orphans with his beady eyes, he grabbed his surgical mask from his face and removed that too. A long nose uncurled itself from where it had been pressed down to his face, and the siblings saw in an instant that it was one of Count Olaf's assistants.
"It's the bald man!" Violet cried. "With the long nose!"
Klaus cried.
"Palermo!"
Sonny cried, which meant, "Who works for Count Olaf?"
"I guess we're lucky enough to capture two criminals today," Mr. Poe said sternly.
"Well, three, if you include Dr. Orwell."
"Count Olaf, and what a relief it is to call him that instead of Shirley," said.
"Enough nonsense," Mr. Poe said. "You, Count Olaf, are under arrest for various murders and attempted murders, various frauds and attempted frauds, and various despicable acts and attempted despicable acts, and you, my bald, long-nosed friend, are under arrest for helping him."
Count Olaf shrugged, sending his wig toppling to the floor, and smiled at the Baudelaires in a way they were sorry to recognize. It was a certain smile that Count Olaf had just when it looked like he was trapped. It was a smile that looked as if Count Olaf were telling a joke, and it was a smile accompanied by his eyes shining brightly and his evil brain working furiously.
"This book was certainly helpful to you, orphans,"
Count Olaf said, holding Dr. Orwell's Advanced Ocular Science high in the air.
"And now it will help me."
With all his rotten might, Count Olaf turned and threw the heavy book right through one of the library windows. With a crash of tinkling glass, the window shattered and left a good-sized hole. The hole was just big enough for a person to jump through, which is exactly what the bald man did, wrinkling his long nose at the children as if they smelled bad. Count Olaf laughed a horrible rough laugh and followed his comrade out the window and away from Paltryville.
"I'll be back for you, orphans," he called. "I'll be back for your lives."
"Egad,"
Mr. Poe said, using an expression which here means, "Oh no, he's escaping." Sir stepped quickly to the window and peered out after Count Olaf and the bald man, who were running as fast as their skinny legs could carry them.
"Don't come back here," Sir yelled out after them. "The orphans won't be here, so don't return." "What do you mean the orphans won't be here?" Mr. Poe asked sternly. "You made a deal, and you didn't keep your end of it. Count Olaf was here after all."
"That doesn't matter," Sir said, waving one of his hands dismissively. "Wherever these Baudelaires go, misfortune follows, and I will have no more of it."
"But, sir," Charles said, "they're such good children."
"I won't discuss it anymore," Sir said. "My nameplate says The Boss, and that's who I am. The Boss has the last word, and the last word is this. The children are no longer welcome at Lucky Smells."